All right, welcome back. We do apologize for the short break we had to go on, and we're going back to that question. The first part of the question was answered, so we're going to be looking at the question two. And question two says, in Revelation chapter 13, we read that the Antichrist will force all peoples, great and small, rich and poor, to receive a mark without which they can neither buy nor sell. Will the number of the beast be applicable only to Israel? If it will be applicable to the other nations of the world, would not it be the tribulation? So that's question two. Revelation chapter 13, referring to the buying and selling the mark, and saying, if you say it's going to be just Israel, then won't the buying and selling, won't the whole world have to still go for the mark?
I want you to note that according to the divine agenda, according to the divine agenda, I want you to take note, this is the wisdom of God. The only reason that is restraining man from worshiping Satan is the presence of the Holy Ghost. And when the set of people on earth, that group of people on earth, have been, that are filled with that Spirit of God, because apart from those who have the Holy Ghost, every other human being is serving Satan. Once that group is taken up in the rapture, harvested from the earth, all other men around the world will serve the system on ground. Whether they go to church or what, you know, and that is why you will have the, what you call the foolish version. What is it that makes them foolish? It's lack of revelation, nothing more. You see, now the rapture takes place, and all anything else among the Gentiles will serve Satan. So that is concluded. The only place that you will have problem is now Israel. Because attention is now shifting to Israel. And through those prophets in Revelation chapter 11, the eyes of understanding of the Jewish revival, in short, sets in.
Yes, sir.
And when their eyes are open, they are not going to bow to any man. It is that refusal to accept him, like the rest of the world will accept him, that brings the indignation. The anger, that's where you see the killing. It is essentially the Jews. But of course, you know, under the human rights, there will be another group now that will feel that they will not worship a man. So they too, they will suffer all around the world. That group certainly will be there. Because remember that it's a situation where now the forces that keep the world, the pillars, economy, you know, finance, and all the rest, particularly finance, trade, economy generally, would not be under the system that has produced the Antichrist.
Christ.
You see, people are just looking at the man. It's not the man, it's a system.
Yes, sir.
And it is a worldwide network,
yes, sir,
that has, with a spiritual backing, producing it, that will produce that one man. So it's not about him, it's about the whole system. And, you know, it's setting the foundation, setting everything, you know, in place for it. So, will it not be the whole world? Of course, the whole world will be under him, but but majority of the world will have no problem with it. They will follow him. That is why the focus is Israel. The tribulation is for Israel. Because they are the ones that worship the true God. They are the only ones that have the revelation of the true God. And the rest, anything that shakes, that has any supernatural something, they will see that they bow before it. You see what is happening among the followers of people with the supernatural manifestations. God bless you.
All right, so we'll go to question three from the same person. Question three says, when Christ comes with his bride to rule in the millennium, who are the ones that will be his subjects, whom he will rule with a rod of iron, the term iron rod. Okay, is it referring to a reign of horror over his enemies? That's like two questions in one.
Who are those
is going to be ruling?
Remember that the Bible says iron, the Bible rod. Lets us know we are in Isaiah 24. Okay. In Isaiah chapter 24, it says in verse 5,
the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. Because
remember from verse 1, let's read it up to verse 6.
From verse 1, Isaiah 24, verse 1, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste,
yes,
and turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof.
That is the judgment that comes upon the earth through the vile angels, seven vile angels, and the seven trumpet angels. Effects.
Okay, and it shall be as with the people.
That so period is called the day of the Lord. Amen. Okay,
so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken his word, this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The word languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. Then verse 5, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting
covenant. Now note verse 6.
Verse 6, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left.
Few men left. Now, these few men that are left, they fall within also, they include this group in Matthew 25.
Okay.
Now, this group in Matthew 25, during the judgment of nations, from verse 31.
Matthew 25 from verse 31 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
What is this kingdom? Is the millennial reign.
Okay.
It's the millennial reign of Christ. That is the kingdom. Now, who are those that qualify for it? From verse 35.
It says, for I was hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, in as much as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me.
Now, a lot of people use this scripture to be the reason why they go to hospitals.
Yes, that's the scripture.
To go to the hospitals, to give clothes to the naked, and the poor, take care of the poor.
Prisons.
They go to the prisons. No, this is not the scripture for that. The primary interpretation of this scripture is that inasmuch as you've done it to the least of this my brethren, who are his brethren? The Jews. The Jews, during the tribulation period under the Antichrist, they will flee to various places. That is why I want you to note that primarily this period of tribulation, the target is the Jews. They are the special people. That's where the revival is. Wherever the light is, that is where Satan goes to. They'll be running to nations. Individuals will be hiding them. It happened even during the Holocaust.
Yes,
it will happen again. So, for doing that, when the judgment will come, God will spare them. They are the ones that will be alive to be among others that may be alive, because there's another scripture that says men will be as few
as gold, as gold.
I mean, as scarce as fine gold.
Mm, yes,
now why? Because the men, I mean, a lot of people will have been destroyed. The population will be destroyed, just as it happened in the days of Noah, and few men were saved. So also, they were saved. Noah and his family, they were saved to repopulate the earth.
Yes, sir.
Animals were also saved to repopulate the earth, to replenish the earth.
Yes.
And so also, a few other people will be left to be on earth here. They are the ones that Christ will come together with me, and I don't know whether I don't know whether Chile. Olumide.
Definitely.
Olumide. I don't know whether Olumide. You are among.
He's among.
Every smart. I don't know whether the we includes.
We are one of them.
Those of you. Joining us, no longer. No, you'll be watching us now in Ireland and all the rest. Are you one of them? Now, when we shall be coming, we shall be, because this millennium, I must be there.
Amen.
This rapture, I must be there.
Amen.
Now, we will now come and rule over them. Remember that it will be 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
No sickness,
mm-hmm.
no accident,
mm-hmm.
no robbery, no bandits, no terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
No pollution in the air, no nothing that will cut short the lifespan of human beings. So there will be, the Bible even says when somebody is 100 years, you say you are a child.
Child,
you know,
yes.
All these are in the scriptures.
Yes,
now the road of act is talking about, there is judgment to create fear among men.
Okay.
Because remember, those who rule, they don't have the Holy Ghost, they are still carnal. So when you do anything, the punishment he will met on you. That is the, you know, it's autocracy, it's not democracy, no human rights, no advocacy in any form. You do it, bam! You are secretly trying to sleep with another man's wife. You will see one of us will appear in the room there, because we shall have angelic bodies.
Yes,
and they say, what are you doing here? Pia, pia. When you know that, will you try it? That is what will happen.
Yes, sir.
Or some instant judgment, something will happen to you instantly that people will watch and be afraid.
Yes.
So that is the ruling with the rod of iron. I don't know, what is the other question?
Okay, that's the two questions for question three. Then question four from same person. Question four says, finally in Acts chapter 2, verse 29, the apostle said that the body of David was still in its grave. Does that mean that David was not among the saints that resurrected when Jesus rose? Thanks and blessings from Cameron, Brian, Neville.
Let's read it.
Acts 2, verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David.
Yes.
That he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, that's the statement.
That is evidence of the grave. Now, I didn't say that he's in the grave to this day.
Yeah.
The sepulchre, let's read it again.
Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David,
yes.
that he is both dead and buried, and his scepter is with us unto this day.
And the sepulchre.
The scepter. Yeah.
And the what? And the sepulchre. Sepulchre is a grave.
It's a grave, yes.
It's with us. Unto that is evidence of where he was buried is still there.
Yeah.
That didn't mean that he's still in the grave.
Yeah.
God bless you.
This says, good evening, sir. Please, something is bothering me and I want to ask you before taking the decision, because I don't want to make a mistake. I made a vow to God that if he answers me, that I will pay or sponsor our drummer brother in our church to learn his skill. Though I'm still waiting for the answer, but now the guy is no longer in the church and went to another state to learn handwork. So my question is, should I give the money to another person or should I still give it to the drummer brother? The vow was between me and God only. This is Sister Prisca from Imo State.
You made a vow that you do what? That I will pay and sponsor our drummer brother in our church
to learn his skill.
And now he's somewhere learning the skill. Now. So you support him, send the money to him to continue with the learning of the skill.
Okay.
Simple.
All right, God bless you, Sister Prisca from Imo State. I believe that answers that question. Okay, we have other questions coming in, and this is from Cameroon. From Cameroon says, Shalom, sir, please, I wish to ask, who are the sons of God spoken of in Job chapter 38?
Angels. They are angels.
Okay.
The angelic family of God. That word son lets you know of a family. Mm. It's not talking about begotten. Whichever it is, they are children of God. Every child of God is a son of God. And we are children of God by you can be a child of God by adoption. You can be a child, you can be somebody's child by adoption, you can be somebody's child, you know, by birth.
Yeah.
But the important thing is that he adopts you into the family and he calls you the son. Yeah. It was his angelic family. Yeah. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. And phone line still open. We have another question that is coming. Okay, that's coming. And that says, Shalom, God bless you all. Question one, sir, you said Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 to 6. It's a purely Jewish affair. Question one, what about the voice that spoke to Brother Abraham as I sent John the Baptist to forerun my first coming, so I will send you? Does that mean Brother Abraham? Does that mean Brother Abraham is a liar, according to you? I got you telling the church that you saw some brethren which was at Ohio River the day of the incident. What about that too?
Now, I think this person has asked this question before.
Mm.
And I said something. The first part of your question, first and foremost, I said, William Branham said that a voice spoke to him. The voice did not speak to anybody. It is his personal testimony. It cannot be a doctrine. Now you say we should not believe him. Why will you not believe him? You have no reason not. Why should you doubt anybody telling you he had a revelation? Everybody has a revelation that gives him the faith, the confidence, the boldness to do what he's doing when he knows he's doing it under a commission. But now you will not use your own revelation and make a doctrine of it and cause me under a revelation you receive to follow you based on the revelation you receive. That would subject me to a very grave danger. Because if that is the spirit you have, then it's very easy, you can be very easily misled. Now, I didn't say he's lying. I said that is for him, not for me. Not for anybody at all. That is, he is the one that is giving you the testimony that he had a voice. Now, I went there with Brother David. And Brother David is an elderly brother that I met in Jeffersonville. And he spared a lot of his time showing me all those places, including where Brother Abraham was buried and the Abraham Tabernacle, and showed me so many things William Branham kept making reference to in the sermon books for the purpose of tourism. And the impression I got was that he was there, he saw the light that came from what he narrated to me. But much later, I found out that I misunderstood him. He wasn't there. He was only talking authoritatively. If I gave the impression I've met anybody, let me correct it now. I have not met anybody that said he was there and he saw the light. And neither have I heard from anybody that, till this moment, that said he saw it. And although Brother Abraham said thousands of people were by the riverside, up to this moment, no record of anybody that was there that said he saw it and to corroborate what he said. Now, you say William Branham lied. I said, I'm not saying he lied, but I'm saying that those are his personal testimony. I have not seen anything to prove it. Now, take note, why I'm not bothered? Why I am not bothered about looking for who will confirm what he said is the bride of Jesus Christ are not bothered about any sign from anywhere. This is our signboard. Amen. This is our direction. Amen. This is what we are following. Amen. The only thing such signs and wonders do is it calls your attention to the person so that you will take what he's saying seriously. And our emphasis has always been by this same William Branham is the voice behind the sign. Whether Moses turned snake, stick to snake in the palace of Pharaoh or not, the message still remained. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go.
Amen.
His ministry is not turning the snake, a stick to snake. Therefore, nobody will measure on that testimony. Nobody will measure on the testimony that Moses gave. In the backside of the desert there, nobody was there. He was the one narrating it. Nobody saw the bush burning and the bush was not consuming. Nobody saw when he was discussing with God. He put his hand in his bosom, brought it out, threw the stick on the ground. All those happened. It was Moses' personal encounter that gave him the confidence to go with the message. Therefore, we will not make a doctrine of sticks turned to snake. We will make a doctrine of what God sent him to do.
The message.
That is why I am not bothered about pillar of fire, pillar of light, cloud, and all this. These things were to point my attention to him. What is the message? That was the problem that was the thinking that helped me when I first came across the ministry of William Branham. The people that introduced them to us told us, they just showed this same picture you're seeing on the screen and said, God has sent us a messenger in this age. And they distributed his messages to us. The next day, people came and said, collect the book, collect the book, collect the book. It's false, it's false, it's false. I say, somebody say he's a messenger. Listen to the message now. We are saying he's false. That is the problem with a lot of believers. And that is what has helped me till now. I am interested in the message. What is the message? And it is through the same message of this same man that has gotten me to where I am today with the proper understanding of this divine agenda. But when you want to make claim about his placement, then I bring it to the Bible and I tell you, no, you are placing him wrongly by the scriptures. And that is exactly what I am preaching. And I pray that you people will understand my stand. What's the other question?
All right. It says question two. If Malachi 4, 5, and 6 is purely for the Jews, you keep saying that we are in the restoration ministry, okay, going on. What have we Gentiles lose that we are restoring?
Now, we are in the restoration ministry. Listen very well. And I want you to listen real good. It is not the Gentiles that are restoring. It is God that is restoring. What is he restoring? Something happened in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33.
Yes.
Christ predicted that or prophesied that by that parable there.
And it says, another parable speak he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened.
But look, it was fulfilled.
Okay, Mark 4, rather, I said John 4.
Read it, please. If you see it.
I said John 4.
A corn of wheat. Now, but it is
that
scripture.
Is John chapter 4, chapter 12, verse 24.
It is scripture. Read it, please. John 12.
John 12, 24. Verily, I say unto you,
I don't know why I'm...
Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much
again.
Fruit. Verily, verily, I say unto you.
Now, this is a natural principle of every seed that is planted. Yes.
Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone.
Uh-huh.
But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit.
Now, and he's talking about his kingdom of God. Mm. He's talking about this mystery of redemption.
Yes.
Now, what he say, I hope this person is listening to me. It's like I am, he's confused about, his... what maybe you have been believing all this says, brother, I believed it like you too.
Mm.
But in the spirit of further revelation,
amen.
We're trying to line up some of these things. Remember that it is lamp trimming.
Amen.
Trimming of the lamp is continuous.
Amen.
From revelation to revelation, revelation to revelation. And so you said, what is the Gentile? Let's get his thought again. What are we restoring? What is the Gentile restoring?
Yes, the Gentile.
He said, and I keep saying we are in the restoration ministry. Yes. We are in the restoration ministry because the gospel, he said, what have we Gentiles lost?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's...
Yes, that we are restoring.
That we are restoring.
Mm.
It's not we that lost it.
Okay.
It is the devil that destroyed something. But it was fulfilling an agenda.
Yes,
the church that was planted, except a corn of wheat, fell to the ground and died. It was planted at Pentecost.
Yes,
that is what you see in the Acts of Apostles. But it must die. And we saw that it died completely under the third seal of Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it died that produced the dark ages.
The dark ages,
Now, but at midnight, there was a cry made, Matthew 25, verse 6.
Yes, sir.
Now, that cry is the restoration ministry.
Yes, sir.
Behold now, Apostle Paul himself, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, now said, this is how the coming of the Lord will be, that there will be, it will start with a shout.
Yes, sir.
The first stage is a shout. This shout or midnight cry is shouting for, remember that in Matthew 25, verse 7, can we read it?
He said, then all those verses
when reading from verse 6 and verse 5. Yes.
And at midnight there was a cry made.
Yes.
Behold, the bridegroom cometh.
Uh-huh.
Go ye out to meet him.
Uh-huh.
Then all those virgins arose.
All those virgins arose.
And trimmed their lamps.
And trimmed their lamps.
And the foolish said unto the wise.
No, see, the trimming of the lamp there is a revelation.
Amen.
But remember, the three works of grace.
Mm.
That the woman took, we saw in Matthew 13, verse 33,
yes, sir.
Is the three works of grace, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
the three works of grace were destroyed by a woman. That woman is the woman in Revelation chapter 17. It is the Roman church.
Yes.
History brings it out clearly.
Yes,
so it is time now for what was destroyed to be restored. And the restoration ministry, which is the shout, is what was ignited in the third seal. That revival touched not the oil nor the wine.
Yes, sir.
In the last part of verse 6 of Revelation chapter 6. Now, that revival is the product of the shout and the midnight cry. Or the midnight cry.
Yes,
now, that is what began the Protestant movement. Luther. So restoration ministry is the restoration of the three works of grace.
Yes.
And all the doctrines, that were destroyed.
Yes.
And all the confusion, in Christendom as a result of, during the Reformation period, the restoration period till date. So we saw that the shout, as we erroneously were teaching that it is the ministry of William Branham, we said, no. The ministry of William Branham is only a part of the response of the revival, the shout revival, the midnight cry revival that started with Martin Luther for justification, sanctification,
Wesley,
baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the restoration of the gifts, actually. William Simon. Then the other loose ends that were left, William Branham, brought all of this together and then gave us the full course meal. Amen. And so what we are product of is the minister of restoration. Amen. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. I think I still see one more question from the same person. And if we have
When we say restoration,
okay, sir.
For the sake of the end time, we say believers.
Okay.
Some people don't even understand what the restoration is all about. Mm. We are being restored back to the apostolic faith, back to the genuine manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
All the gifts that we see must be in operation.
Mm.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 12,
yes,
and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, all these gifts shall be restored and manifested.
Amen.
Whereby we have revival again and a lot of things that have been injected.
Mm.
And let me use this opportunity to let the people understand who we are.
Amen.
So, because we say we're the restoration ministry.
Yes,
and if we're the restoration ministry, then remember Galatians chapter 4, I believe.
Okay. Galatians chapter 4.
Am I correct? Galatians chapter 4, verse 21.
Galatians 4, 21.
Verse 22, from verse 22.
From verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons.
Yes.
The one by a bond maid.
Yes.
The other by a free woman.
Yes.
For he who was of the bond woman was born after the flesh.
Hmm.
For he of the free woman was by promise.
Now, I want you to note something here. Let's go to verse 28.
Verse 28 says, "Now we brethren."
Now we brethren,
as Isaac was,
we are
the children of promise.
And what is that promise of the restoration of the church? We are children of promise. But verse 29.
But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now.
You see,
nevertheless. What saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman.
No.
So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free.
And this is fulfilled in Genesis chapter 25.
Okay. Genesis 25.
Yes. Verse 5.
Genesis 25 and verse 6. 5 and 6. And yes. Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac.
Yes.
But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived.
Can you see the separation?
Yes, sir.
Now, take note that they have the same father.
Yes, sir.
But different mothers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's a composition of the church.
Mm.
Mm. It's a two groups of believers.
Yes, sir.
One is a product of man's idea.
Yes, sir. Yes,
it's another woman that produced them.
Yes, sir.
But there's
another. The free woman
has her own child, but that child is a child of promise.
Amen.
There is a promise
that
will produce a restored church.
Amen.
What the church will go through is not by accident before God. He knew it will happen.
Yes, sir.
So there's a promise. Now there will be separation. Now you see Genesis chapter 25.
Yes, sir.
Verse 5. See the separation again.
And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac.
You see now, now see separation in
but
verse 6.
Unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son.
Now see the separation.
Mm.
They cannot be here together. Now remember, it is Sarah that made that statement.
Yes, sir. Mm.
Now, Sarah, Isaac must be separated from Ishmael.
Ishmael, yes, sir.
They cannot be here.
Yes, sir.
They can't inherit the same thing.
Yes, sir.
Well, the woman is there, but the prophecy still stands.
Yes, sir.
Now, see the sons of the concubine and Isaac.
Mm.
See where the separation takes place in verse 6. Now, after the separation,
yes, sir.
Now see the restoration ministry now.
Mm.
You see the difference.
Yes, sir.
Those other ones ran off with gifts.
Mm.
Because all they gave them was gifts.
Yes, sir.
But there is something about Isaac. He was given all by the father.
Yes, sir.
And we are a type of Isaac.
Mm.
Now, see where the restoration ministry is. Go to verse chapter 26.
Chapter 26.
Yes. And from verse 12.
From verse 12, it says, then Isaac sold in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Mm-hmm. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great.
Keep reading.
For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him.
Go ahead.
For all the
now,
wells.
Take note from verse 15. 15.
For all the wells which his father's servant had digged in the days of Abraham.
In the apostolic days, the apostolic doctrines, the wells they are where fountain of life flow from the word of God. The depth of revelation of the word of God. Mm.
Uh-huh. The Philistines had stopped them with and what? Killed them with earth.
With earth, earthly doctrines. Mm. See where I'm going with. For Isaac found the child of promise that was given all, found the condition of the estate of his father.
Yes, sir.
The words that his father dug, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Mm. They covered them with earthly doctrines, yes, teaching for commandment, doctrines of men. Mm. Now, read on, you will see something here.
And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we.
Verse 17.
And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there.
Now, watch justification now.
And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham.
I mean, restoration. Verse 18 is the restoration. Read it again.
And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham.
You see, restoration ministry by Isaac.
Yes, sir.
It is by Isaac. Mm. Restoration ministry is by Isaac.
Yes, sir.
Oh, glory be to God.
Amen.
Go ahead.
For the Philistines have stopped them after the death of Abraham,
uh-huh.
and he called their names.
Can you see?
After the names which his father had
the
called.
The same apostolic doctrine is what we shall be restored to.
Amen.
Oh, glory be to God.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And Isaac's servants digged in the.
Now garden. You will notice as you read on. It was three wells that he dug.
Yes, sir.
Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Calling them the same name that his fathers called them.
Amen.
Why? It was a restoration ministry.
Yes, sir.
And that is who we are, the restored church.
Amen. Amen.
While the concubine denomination, children of the concubine, they are busy with gifts, and know nothing about the word of God,
Amen.
About the divine agenda.
Amen.
You see how privileged we are.
Yeah,
now, and don't say it is William Branham in the light of further revelation. William Branham is only part of it, you know, because there is actually nothing new William Branham brought. Yes. It is therefore a restoration ministry. The much Luther knew, he brought Wesley new, he brought William Simon new, he brought, then William Branham brought what we popularly call the loose ends.
Yes.
And brought them so that you don't run off with one and form a denomination, build a wall around it.
Yes.
Now we believe all, totality. We believe in speaking in tongues.
Yes,
we believe in casting out devils.
Amen.
We believe that we don't preach the gospel with empty words of mouth, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
Amen.
We believe in holiness. Without holiness, you cannot see God.
Mm.
And we believe that we have no other creed than the word of God.
Amen.
The Bible is our guide, and any attempt to take us and replace this with any book, with anything.
Mm.
Now, if any book does not bring me here, then it is not worth reading.
Amen.
Any book written by anybody, if it is not meant to make this book clearer for me, then that book is not worth reading.
Mm.
Because anything that we must read, whether it is from Luther, it is from Wesley, it is from William Branham, it was from anybody else, it is to bring me here.
Mm.
And if it doesn't bring me here, I don't need that book.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. All right, we'll come back to the last question. But I know somebody needs to take water, a Brita, to calm down first.
Thank you. I'm among them. I want to take some water.
So because somebody, I know a lot of, especially those who are in the message.
Have we exhausted this question?
No, it's remaining one more question. When we come back,
we'll take that question.
Okay. Let a lot of people calm down from what they've had. But I know, especially anti-message believers who are coming across us, it's been a lot.
Many of these people are not sincere. Many of these people is not knowledge, revelation that brought them. You can't be seeking for knowledge and put a full stop when it comes to understanding God. Every day if you walk with God, you just see that you have not finished knowing.
Yes, sir.
That humbles you. That, and if there is something, you know, seeking for God begins with a test.
Amen.
And it is an action of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
The day that test stops, that is, God has finished with you. We will never finish knowing God until we go. Even when we go, He remains God. Yeah. He will still remain mysterious. Everything is for His pleasure. So, and that is what Christ was trying to let you know. That don't limit God. He said, the day, the hour, no one knows. But the Father, which is revealed. Yet He will tell you, if you see me, you see the Father. Do you understand?
Yes,
it's to let you know that revelation is progressive. Don't say you know all. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, and the judge shall live by faith. And the gospel of our Lord Jesus is revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. Now the beauty of walking with God, the excitement there is that things become clearer, becomes clearer. Errors are removed. I thought water baptism is Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I see it in the Bible, in the name of Jesus. You get excited. Wow, it's in the scripture. And once you can confirm anything is in the scripture, you hold on to it. Irrespective of what you know. That is what you see. I'm sorry, you want to take a break. But that is what you see. From Matthew chapter 13.
Yes.
That is what you see in demonstrated there in the restoration movement. Now, chapter 13. Now, if you go to verse 44.
Verse 44.
Yes.
And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field.
Yes.
The which when a man had found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that
field. That is the story of Luther. Immediately he caught revelation that was contrary to all he learned in Catholicism. That is it. Selling it is throwing it away, and buying it is pursuing to get more revelation and hang on to it. Why are message believers bewitched to this level that they are in now? May God help all of us.
Amen. All right, I was going to say we'll go on a break, but I think the fire is still burning in the bones of the minister today. But we'll still go on that short break, and when we're back, it's still Ask the Pastor. God bless you.